Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew writes this. He says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem, in all that region, who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word, and I pray for your help as I proclaim it. Lord, in these few minutes that I have, that it would go forth with power and authority that doesn't belong to me, but is yours by your Holy Spirit. So may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I grew up in the suburbs of Southern California. Here is a map of my home, the little red dot there, that's my parents still live there. And what you can see, kind of fuzzy, but that's just house after house after house after house after house. And there's nothing resembling woodlands or forests anywhere around there. So you can imagine my surprise when I found in my garage a raccoon. I was in the garage pumping up the, with a nice smile there too. I was pumping up some tires on a bicycle, and then after they were filled, I wanted to make sure that it rode okay, so it was just evening time, it had turned dark, street lights were on, and I rode down maybe 100 yards and did a circle and came back, and right as I went up the driveway, coming out of my driveway was this raccoon looking at me. And I'm sure I was much more scared of him than he was of me, but immediately when I saw him, I turned the bike around and rode away as fast as I could, because I know that when a wild animal feels threatened, they respond with violence. And in our story, when King Herod felt threatened, when he heard about the birth of Jesus, and he felt threatened, he responded with violence. See, Matthew tells us the story of these wise men. He calls them magi. Men from the east, wealthy sages, that came to find this baby who was to be born, who was to be the king of Israel, the king of the Jews. Now, of course, when Herod heard that, he said, wait a second, that's my title. I'm the king of the Jews. And hearing about this other king, he began to feel threatened, and he responded with violence. And so he hatched a plot. Can't say that very easily. He hatched a plot. And he made it like he was interested in this baby and he was going to come worship. And so he told these wise men, he said, listen, I want you to find this child and then you need to come back and tell me because I too want to come and worship this baby. Of course, all the while he's planning to kill Jesus. The wise men went and they worshiped, but then God warned them before they left, don't go back to Herod. And so they went back to their home a different way and they didn't tell Herod. And he realized he had been tricked and he set out with his death squad. He sent them into this town of Bethlehem and slaughtered all of the children 2 years old and younger. See, this was nothing new for Herod. He was a man of violence and whenever he felt threatened, he responded by killing those who threatened him. Three of his own sons he had executed when he thought they might be plotting against him. One of his wives, he had her killed because he thought she might be planning something to usurp his power. See, when he felt threatened, he responded with violence. That's the way of King Herod, but he wasn't alone in that. Jesus, later in his life, as he grew older, would face again authorities who felt threatened by him and would respond with violence. And so the religious leaders and the secular leaders conspired together and they put Jesus to death. Unbeknownst to them, Jesus walked right into this death because that is why he had come, that he might give his life as a sacrifice, not for his own sins, but for ours. Now, we don't typically respond with this much violence when we hear about Jesus or when he begins to come into our lives or when we're confronted with the truth about him. And yet many of us feel threatened by Jesus. Maybe the first time that we heard that he has true authority, he has the right to rule over our lives, and we begin to feel threatened. Because if he's really the boss, if he's really in charge, if he is, as John says in the Bible, God himself become flesh, if he has that authority, then perhaps I owe him my allegiance, and what might that mean for my life? If I make him the boss, what am I going to have to give up? What about my autonomy? What about my rights? Maybe there's relationships that I'm not willing to give up, but he's going to call me to release. Maybe there's hurt that I'm still holding on to, and he's going to make me forgive. You see, Herod was a scoundrel, but at least he understood Jesus was a threat. Do you recognize the threat that Jesus poses to you? That he has authority over you? That he has the rights over your life? Now, what a contrast between Herod and these wise men. Herod responding with violence, but you see, the wise men, what did they do? They sought Jesus out. And that was no easy trip. They came hundreds of miles looking for this baby. They didn't even know for sure where they were going. They got to Jerusalem and they had to ask, where is he? They were on the search. They looked for Jesus. And then when they arrive, I love how Matthew describes it. He says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. They were overjoyed when they finally found Jesus. And then what does Matthew say that they did? But they fall down. These wealthy men, these men of importance, these wise men, falling at the feet of a baby and worshiping him. Acknowledging. I'm sure they didn't know all that it meant of who this child was, but they recognized he had the authority of God himself. And they bowed down. And they worshiped. And then lastly, they opened up their treasures and they gave Jesus their best. See, they didn't just dig in their pocket and go, I think I've got a few bucks here. You know, Mary, Joseph, go get something to eat. No, they opened up the things that were most important to them, most valuable to them, and they gave these treasures. They gave their best to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, representing worship, acknowledgement. He is the one worthy of our best. You know, I spoke last week about fearing God. We read the song that Mary sang as she was pregnant with Jesus, and there was a line there in Luke chapter 1, verse 50. It said, God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. There's a fear of God that when we recognize who he really is, and we recognize the power he has, the authority that he has, the righteousness that characterizes every aspect of who he is, we should have fear in our hearts toward him. But this fear is not the kind of fear that drives us away from him. It's a fear that doesn't threaten us, but instead draws us near. You see, it's when we don't acknowledge who God really is, when we don't recognize his real authority, that we run from him. But when we know who he truly is, and we recognize the authority and the power and the love that he really has, we run to him. So instead of responding with this sense of feeling threatened by Jesus, we should respond like the Magi. We should seek out Jesus. When we find him, our hearts should rejoice exceedingly with great joy. We should bow down and acknowledge and worship that this is the King of Kings. This is God who has become flesh for us. And then we should open up the treasures of our lives, the treasures of our hearts, and give Jesus our very best. Jesus is a king, make no mistake, who has come to usurp your authority. He's come to replace you as king over your life. But what Herod didn't understand, what the religious leadership of Jesus' day, what the Romans didn't understand, is that this is a good thing. Because he is a king who has come not to enslave you, but to set you free. He is a king who has come to rescue you. He is a king who has come not to lead us toward death, but instead to give us life. He is a king who will lead us into wisdom rather than foolishness. Jesus, you see, deserves your best because he himself gave his best for you. He came as one with authority, and yet he laid down his life as a sacrifice, to pay for sins that are ours. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He used his authority and power not to enslave us, but to set us free by defeating death and sin. Jesus sacrificed himself that we might have life. And so then in return, he calls us to give him authority, to take ourselves off of the throne of our hearts and enthrone him over our lives, to make him our king, to make him our Lord. And when we do that, we can join these wise men and we can rejoice exceedingly with great joy. This is what Jesus Christ offers. This is what Christmas is about. And so my prayer for you all, my prayer for myself, is that this Christmas, the true joy that comes from Jesus Christ will permeate my heart and yours. Let us pray. Father, thank you for real joy. Thank you for authority and power that doesn't push us away but draws us in. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that if there are those who feel threatened by you, that you would break through that fear and show them your love, and that you would draw them to yourself, and that they would surrender before you. They would seek you and find you, worship you, and give you their best. And in return, Lord, you will give them joy that far exceeds anything that this world can offer. Lord, this is our prayer, that we would know the true joy of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.